If you'd like a little bit more information about fasting, there's a single sheet that just citywide prayer and fasting, why prayer and fasting, that elaborates some of the things that Paul spoke about. That's in the back, in the rear table there. Our scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, but then 9, 1 through 15. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 is on page 862, and then we'll go into chapter 9. Verse 9 reads, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." I'd like to read that one more time. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And then chapter 9 begins, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to all the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift and not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we know what Christmas is about, right? What's Christmas about? Usually it's gifts, let's be honest. It's about gifts. And I'll be honest with you, I was really excited. This year in our family, I was really touched by our children, the way they really were trying to focus on each other and whoever they were giving their presents to, that they're actually thoughtful toward, wow, what can we give that would make them happy? But Armenian Christmas, it's not about gifts, is it? Was it like that in your family? I remember in mine, we would go crazy on December 25th, and then when I met Sosia, I learned that in Lebanon, everyone goes crazy on December 31st when Galant Baba comes, and that's when all the presents go. But January 6th is different. Somehow, that ended up being about Jesus. Even in my family, where we weren't particularly Christ-oriented, when it came to January 6th, it was about Jesus. So it's a gift that we have as Armenians, that we get to get past the gifts, yes, get past the sales, and we can actually stop for a moment and say, you know what? Christmas really is about Jesus. I really believe it's a gift that we have. And as I prayed, we need to continue to pray that we would not squander this gift. And that possibly even as a people, as a church, we could be a blessing to the entire community to call them back to Christ. See, giving really is a grace. Giving's a grace. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, it's one of the few times Paul really talks about giving, and what's funny is he doesn't talk about money, he talks about giving. And in chapter 1 it begins, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us." See, giving is a grace. It's a privilege. When you think about the opportunity that we have to give, is it a joy for you? See, there was a famine. There was a famine in Palestine. And as Paul went to the churches who had received the gospel of the Jewish Messiah, as they shared about this king who was not just the king of the Jews, but the king of all, the Lord of lords, the king of kings, they wanted to give. But did you notice the context in which they gave? It was in poverty. It was in poverty, and they gave more than they could. Because what had God given? God had given everything. He'd given his own son. And so their response to that, they counted it a privilege to give back to the people of Israel, the ones from whom they received the gospel. Is that how you give? Do you give out of a sense of joy, out of a sense of privilege? See, 2 Corinthians 8, 9 really is a spectacular statement. In fact, if there was one verse in the entire scripture that gets to the core of the gospel, this might be it. Could you read it with me, please? "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you and I, through his poverty, might become rich." What is that? Does that move your heart at all? Does that make you want to smile? Does that change how you see God looking at you? See, in no way was God hesitant to give his son for your salvation and for my salvation. In no way, when he left heaven, did he say, "Oh, it's going to be 33 years. Ah, okay, I think I can take it. Oh, but the cross is at the end. Oh, man, are they going to be worth it? I don't know if there are maybe a couple of them, but all of them?" The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Do you know that there's no place in the Gospels that you see that Jesus is rich? Remember the kind of family he was born into? See, he was born into poverty in their version of a barn. Why? So that you and I, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, no one's misunderstanding this to talk about your bank account, are you? Tell me that you're not. Because there's a major heresy in the Christian church about that if you come to Jesus, you get it'll show up on your bottom line. And some of us have even given with this mistaken idea that if I give, I can't. And even true statements get twisted. If I give, I can't outgive God. Nice. I'll give 100 and I might just get back 125. Don't raise your hand if you've ever thought that. And I'm going to keep mine down. See, giving is a grace. It is a grace, and it's a privilege, and it's a joy. But there are right ways to give and wrong ways. So let's just take a look here real quick. Wrong way to give and a right way to give. So the first one, let's go back to what Jesus said. Right? Paul mentioned in Matthew 6, Jesus said, when you fast. He also said, when you give. Let's take a listen to what he said here. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's pretty strong. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, we don't want to give so that we get attention. And there are lots of organizations that if it's a need of yours to get recognition, just give to those. Because they'll print out your name. They'll even print out the amount. Depending on what the organization is, you may even get a plaque, not just in your house, but you may have it in their building. The other day, Paul and I were at a place where my grandparents helped found, and he and I both knew the exact wall where their names were, Paul and Juhar Papazian. It's not there anymore. We're not too happy about that. Because we love to see our name or the names of those we love up on the wall. Don't do that in giving to Christ. The grace of giving is to give in a way that God knows, and it's a joy to know that He knows. And we lose all joy, and as Jesus said, all reward when we do it to get attention. So don't do it that way. Don't give to get attention. And the other thing you probably noticed in the beginning of 9 is don't give without preparation. Don't just show up at an event or think, oh, okay, let me just give it. Oh, wow, I've only got a 1. Okay, well, I'll give that 1 and I'll do the rest of it later. Who's ever forgotten about later? Yeah, I forgot about later. You know, I was really touched when I left Fresno, was working in Washington, D.C. The pastor told me, he said, you know, when you give and when you tithe, it was really funny. He didn't say if. Made me a little nervous. So when you give and when you tithe, and this was back in the days where everyone used checks, he said, why don't you write out your check on Saturday night? Or on Sunday morning before you come. That way we don't have to hear you rip it out of the checkbook. You can just put it in the offering. And that, I'd never even thought of that before. Number one, a check, that was a little bit more than I was used to. But give thoughtfully. He told them, I've been bragging about you, but I want to send the people early so when you come, when they come to receive your offering, you promised it, don't be caught empty-handed. See, it's tricky because you get from the entire letter of 2 Corinthians and even a little bit from chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians that the Corinthians, Paul wanted them to do it weekly. And there was a famine in Palestine, but the Christians in Achaia were also suffering too. Remember, they gave out of their poverty. And it's really easy to say, well, when my fortunes turn back, that's when I'll give. And I mean, of all things, Who gives a message about giving after we've just drained our bank accounts with Christmas, right? That's me, I guess. Plan ahead. And now, because many of us don't even use checks, plan for consistent, prepared giving, either through your bank or through the app that you can just click on it and give a gift. See, it's very easy, and our elders and our budget and finance committee have worked hard to make it as easy as possible to engage in prepared giving. So don't give without thinking about it. Don't give without praying about it. See, the other thing is, don't give feeling pressured. Did you catch that? In verses 6 and 7, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should do just as you have decided in your heart to give. Again, that's that preparation. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give because I'm talking about it. Don't give because everybody else is giving. Did I really say that? Yes. Because you're not going to do it joyfully. You're not going to do it cheerfully with joy if it's about somebody else. Remember, we don't want to give to get attention. We don't want to give without preparation. And we don't want to give feeling pressured. Again, you know what this is like. You've just gone through Christmas. Oh, I've got to give a present. Oh, did they give me something? Oh, they did give me something last year. Oh, I got to give them something. Really? No. Maybe with each other you have to, otherwise you lose your relationships. But that's not how it works with God. That's not how it works with God. He doesn't want you feeling obligated. Do not feel obligated. Unless, of course, and here we go to the right way to give, unless you know grace. If you know grace, how can you not give? If you've received the riches of Christ, again, we've just lived in Ephesians for this last quarter. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We've been sealed and given the Holy Spirit. We have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We have been brought into a new community. No more walls. We can actually live like Christ together. Do you know that grace? Paul thought the Corinthians did, and they didn't get a lot right, but you know what? He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. If you know grace, give. And if you haven't thought about the grace that God has given lately, think about it. Let's talk to each other about it. Grace has been poured out on us. And so, if you know grace, give. Give, give. And again, it's prepared just as you have decided in your heart to give. It's really important that you hear this. We probably don't talk enough about giving. In fact, our elders sat me down 2 years ago and last year and said, by the way, you need to do a better job about talking about giving. You really need to emphasize tithing, 10%. You need to do it. If we as a church gave 10%, we would be saying, okay, Lord, what else do you want to do with the resources that you've given? What else do you want to do? Because it's going to go way beyond anything we've expected. But, you know, I need to tell you that in the New Testament, there's no command to tithe. It's not there. Now, some of you are like, yes, I knew it. Now I don't have to do it. Well, I believe the reason there's no mention of it in the New Testament is because the command is to give all. See, some of us get the mistaken idea with tithing that 10% belongs to God and 90% yes to me. No. 100% is God's. 10% is a great number to use, because if you aren't giving or can't give 10%, we need to encourage each other to get some financial counseling. Because if we're spending 90% of our income on ourselves, time out. Big problem. We're overspending. We've got way too many commitments. And we've got to take some steps to right the ship so that, of course, we give 10%. That's what they gave before they knew the grace of Jesus Christ. So be prepared. And so it may mean that you need to, and I may need to rework my budget. Oh, but I don't do that. Please, please don't be so foolish. The vast majority of our nation is in debt beyond their eyeballs because they're not thinking about it. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we not be responsible? Remember, Jesus had that other little statement, he who is faithful in little. We're going to come to that in just a little bit. Hold on. But be prepared. But then be cheerful. Again, if you and I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can give with exuberance. We can give with joy. We can give cheerfully. I want you to think, when's the last time you gave cheerfully? It doesn't have to be, I'm not necessarily thinking about monetary. Again, you just did Christmas, right? You just exchanged presents. There were some people that you could not wait to give to, aren't there? Because you just love them so much. Oh, I can't wait to see what they're going to do. I was out of my mind watching Ani for the gift that she had prepared for Mark. I can't wait. Can he do it now? Can he do it now? Can he do it? Can he do it? Because she loves him. Okay, if my daughter, who comes from stock like this, I know mom's there too, so that helps. But if she can be excited about giving generously to her brother, how about you and I? Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Giving to him can be cheerful. But it also comes with an expectancy. I don't know if you caught that. In verse 8 it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in all good works. Literally, it's all. In NIV it says, for every good work. And I guess that translates better in English. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There's an expectancy. You give, and again, this is where there's the little bit of truth that gets twisted. You give, you can expect God will provide literal material resources for you so that you can keep giving. Not so that you can pocket it, not so you can have the vacation home, not so that you can get the new car, so you can keep giving. God loves this arrangement. He provides, we give. He provides more, we get to give more. We give more, he provides. And it's this cycle that he really gets excited about. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever given God the opportunity to outgive you so you can keep giving? Again, it's not to line your pocket. He's not that dumb. He knows what's going on. He knows our hearts. But give with expectation, because when you give, it causes thanksgiving. Not only do we get the joy of giving and the privilege, and it's exciting, and we just can't stop. Others who experience your generosity, give thanks to God. Years ago, when our students would come back from Mexico, we used to play a song during the slideshow that said, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed." And we all cried. Oh, it was so beautiful. Seeing the kids' pictures, seeing the little Mexican children. Oh, it was so exciting. The tears were short-lived, and then we went back to living the way we normally lived. But Paul's offering a life of giving where, when we know grace, we give, and when we give, we know grace. Can you read that with me? It's up at the top. When we know grace, we give. When we give, we know grace. Can we say that again? When we know grace, we give. And when we give, we know grace. That's what he is inviting us to. That's what he's inviting us to as we start this new year. Now, we're gonna have a little fun this year. In Luke chapter 19, there is a parable. It's also known as the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. But in Luke 19, we read this, starting in verse 11. While they were listening to Jesus, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas." Now, a mina is about 100 days of salary. That's a lot. "Put this money to work until I come back. Put this money to work until I come back." So, like I said, we're going to have a little fun tonight. After we share in communion, we're going to exit. And you're going to be given an envelope. And in that envelope will be $10. We want to give a teeny reflection of God's generosity. And we want to live this this parable. So you're going to receive an envelope with $10 in it. And what we'd like you to do is to put that $10 to work. We'd like you to take that $10, maybe purchase something that you can leverage into earning more so that you can be like that good and faithful servant whose mina earned 10 more. You see, when the king returned and sent for his servants to whom he'd given the money in order to find out what they had gained for, the first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more." "Well done, my good servant," the master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." The second one said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more." "Okay, you take charge of 5 more." See, do you know grace? Here's a very simple, practical way. Take the $10 and do something with it so you can come back and give. Now, the elders still need to decide where this mina project is going to go. And by the way, it's not named after Minasians. It's just mina, and in plural, so minas. So the idea is that you would take it, I don't know. When my dad did this in his church years ago, it was back in the days of film. He bought a roll of film. I think it was like $7 or $8. And then he went to people at church, and everybody knows dad loves photography. He took their pictures and said, "I'll make portraits for you." So with his $7, he took everybody's picture who wanted it, probably a few who felt pressured. Anyway, so he took their picture, and then the next week he developed them, gave them the print, and he charged them, I don't know, $2, $3 for the print. And so by the end of the time, I think he had gained like $110 or $120. And he was so excited because he took the little gift, the little that he was given, and then he multiplied it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we have some people who like to bake. I don't know how much a box of brownie mix costs. Okay? I don't know. I think it's less than $10. you could then bake some brownies and then sell them. Wouldn't be bad. Some of you probably would be pretty good with a rake. So buy a rake and see what you can do in your neighborhood to leverage that. Maybe you're thinking, you know, $10, that's really not much. Well, get your whole family together. Get together with several families and say, you know what? We've pulled $150. And so what we're going to do is this. So our desire is that you would take, this small gift, and that you would do something with it, that you would put it to work. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here's your mina. I kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you were a hard man. You take out what you do not reap, and you reap what you don't sow." Is that how you look at God? Do you look at God as someone who grudgingly provides what you need, so you grudgingly just give back what he gave you? Don't be that. Don't be that person. I know that's probably not a very helpful thing to say. Would you review what we've thought about together this morning? If you know grace, when we know grace, we give. And when we give, what? We know grace. So we're inviting the congregation to have a little fun. We'd love for you to do this over the month of January. Now, if you're the person who said, "Look, I want to plant some seeds and grow some vegetables," that's not going to happen in a month. Okay, then bring yours on March 4th. That'll be our annual meeting. And if you need that much time to do it, go for it. If you need even a little extra time because whatever you're doing takes a little bit longer, when you do it, we'll rejoice together. So I want to urge each of you to take part in this. Throughout this month, our heart is going to be on fully participating with all that we are. We talk a lot about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to try to just get as practical as we can in the month of January. This week, it's concrete with money. Next week, we're going to be talking about investing in our relationships. On the 21st, we're going to be talking about investing the gifts God has given us in different opportunities of service. And you're going to see lists of all sorts of opportunities that we have just even in our church and in our community where you can offer yourself for service. And on the 28th, we're going to tie it all together with our passions and with obedience. And in the fellowship hall right after church, we're going to be having a ministry fair, where you're going to have the opportunity to step in and say, "I want to volunteer and do this. I want to use my gifts, my talents, my passions in service to Christ." See, we want to be all in. Paul says that by the mercies of God, we want to present our bodies. And that's an act of worship, that we want our minds to be renewed and transformed so that we can truly worship him with all that we are. That's the gift he's inviting us to. So I hope you'll take part in it. Amen.